think I have to. It says I can flip the thing. So there. Now that's Twitter Live.
Twitter Live?
Yeah. So now it's live on the Twitter and live on the Facebook.
Holy shit. Live on Twitter.
Yep.
We're moving up in the world.
And podcast audio recording. The podcast audio will be late to the main feed. It's going to, the podcast audio is going to go to the website, and it's going to be there, because with the way shit went with moving and, acquiring some shit to sit on while we live here, wasn't paying that monthly hosting bill. So that's not paid. So that shit is down. It will not let me put up a, anything longer than 45 minutes. And not with high definition audio.
Yeah.
Yeah, it'll be a blog talk telephone radio audio. So shit's gonna be on the website. Alright, so now there we are on the Twitter and on the Facebooks at the same fuck time. And waiting, hopefully they fucking put this Periscope Twitter thing for desktops. Like, everything's for smart devices.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they, I don't know why. Maybe they fucking contract with these fuckers.
I think it's because everybody's, instead of buying, like, traditional laptops, they're buying those convertible tablets now, like the two-in-one, like mine, like the fucking two-in-one, where detachable keyboard, turn it back into a tablet.
Too small. I need a full-on computer screen. All right. Well, everything is everything. We're going to go ahead and get this thing opened up. This plenty of babble. All right. Plenty of babble. We have good cops to get to. And this is installment number 5. I wanted to do one more good cop. Like, there's no such thing as a good cop in the series. Before we get to episode 700, in which you are all the real 700 club.
Now, sisters and brothers, we know we got over by the blood, the sweat, and the tears of sheroes and heroes. Some whose names we know and some whose names we do not know. But I'm going to tell you something. We have been here before. Now, the only difference is we got some company, Rev.
This show we got our is gang fucked here,
sisters
up.
And brothers with us this time. We got our Hispanic, Asian, Native American sisters and brothers with us this time.
When we're not on the show, Mother Teresa yells at me. When we're not
on, said we may not have gotten here on the same ship, but we are in the same boat right now.
This show is so black. This show is so black. This show is so black.
In Father Teresa's Wine Cellar, we believe all oppression is intersectional. And this means our analysis of current events frequently includes discussion of difficult and explicit content. Any combination of the following topics could be included in our show: murder, rape, war, climate change, racism, sexism, violence, sexual violence, homophobic violence, heterocentrism, discrimination and abuse against individuals of nonconformist sexuality, domestic violence, child abuse, child rape, child neglect, elderly abuse, verbal abuse, police brutality, microaggressions, ableism, cyberbullying, genital mutilation, ideological extremism, and people just being total fucking assholes.
Right. Hold the fuck on, fucky fuckers. There we go. Trying to get this camera correct.
Yes.
Correct and properly for the Twitter Live. And because I'm looking at it on the tablet as well, I am cut way the fuck out of the video.
Oh, you want me to move closer?
No, I have to move in. You're in.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, you're in, I'm out. But then again, I have a huge microphone popper stopper in my face anyway. Nobody cares.
Aw, but then they can't see how cute you are.
Yeah, I mean, oh, hell, I got your decibels way up there. All right, everybody's living. Keep talking. Talk loud.
Oh, I'm going to talk loud? Keep talking?
Oh,
all right.
Yeah, still loud. Oh, bang on.
Damn. All right. All right.
You're the headliner.
Okay, fine. Let's do that. All right, so I'm going to throw out my two disclaimers first. Somebody asked if we were going to cover the story about a bill that is going to impact use of force. It is a California bill being proposed by a senator from Glendale, California. I will, but I need to read the bill first because I've heard lots of contradictory information about it. But considering the fact that police unions are mad, it's probably going to be a good fucking bill. Eh? If you want to look it up in the meantime before I do, it is California Bill number 931, AB931, if you want to look it up. My other disclaimer is, yes, I saw the thing on Reason about the federal government trying to get involved with social media. Here's my problem. I haven't read everything they've written so far, and I need to, because according to the Reason article about this, they say that they're going to have mandatory location verification to send to authorities to disclose and authenticate the geographic origin of all users and posts over social media. Which sounds fucking terrifying, I think, right? Automatically mandatorily sending your location to police and identifying you? Fucking scary.
Freedom.
However, Axios also covered this, and according to Axios, one of their biggest things is protecting user privacy from social media platforms. Obviously, those two things kind of directly contradict each other a little bit. You can't protect privacy if you're making it mandatory to give it to the government. So I don't know what they're doing yet, and it's lots of pages, and I haven't had time to read them. So I know about it. I've heard about it. I just haven't had time to read it. When I do, we'll cover it, because that's what the fuck we do. All right. Actual news, actual fucking headlines, right? Right. West Virginia, or what does he say? West Virginia?
Yeah, Bob Kincaid, head on Radio Network, calls it West Virginia.
West Virginia. In West Virginia, lawmakers have impeached all four Supreme Court justices. They got rid of their entire fucking state Supreme Court. What the fuck? On Monday night after spending issues, including a suspended justice who is facing a 23-count federal indictment. The State House of Delegates voted to impeach Justice Alan Lowry on 8 articles, setting the stage for a trial. Beth Walker was the final justice to be impeached when an article was approved stating all four justices abused their authority and failed to control office expenses, including more than $1 million in renovations to individual offices and not maintaining policies over matters such as working lunches and the use of state vehicles and office computers at home. Uh-huh. Walker had initially dodged impeachment when lawmakers decided to overlook $130,000 of spending in office renovations, but they changed their mind. So now they don't have a state Supreme Court in West Virginia. Yeah? Yeah.
Holy shit.
Yeah, I think it's wild because it's all of them. It's the whole bench, right? Like, that's fucking wild.
What's the date stamp on this?
Yesterday?
Fuck, okay, I need to check out Bob Kincaid's latest couple episodes.
Yeah. Yeah, this the indictments came in Monday. Today's Tuesday, right? Yeah. The indictments came in Monday night, so yeah. I know.
Fair deal.
Yeah. We'll see what happens with that. Let's see. What else do I have? Just post-racial America being post-racial. Ronald Morris Wadford, age 75, has been arrested on 2 counts of aggravated stalking, according to court records, and was arrested after threatening to lynch the president of the Alachua County NAACP chapter. Because we're post-racial. Right?
And nuanced.
Very nuanced. Yeah. He apparently called the NAACP president, Evelyn Fox, at least 6 times during November of 2016, stated he was a member of the Ku Klux Klan, and in one case warned her he was going to show up at her house to lynch her. "I'm going to hang your nigger ass," he said. All right.
And could one of the two people tuned in on the Twitter, it's been fluctuating, one of the three people tuned in on Twitter, could you let us know if the vocals are coming through clearly, if we need to make any adjustments for the fute?
Yes.
Sure.
Yes. So yeah, apparently Wadford has an extensive criminal history spanning several states, including charges of cocaine possession, narcotics possession, weapons possession, and maiming. Apparently, maiming is its own charge. Maiming.
They probably do it a lot. A lot of maiming.
God damn. All right. A witness described the man as a, quote, racist with a lot of violence in his heart, adding that Wadford kept an arsenal of machetes.
That's freedom.
Nigga, it's some. But you know what? If he was in Texas, that would be legal, because you can carry swords in Texas now, remember? Good job, Texas. Yeah. So that's going on there. We'll see what happens with that case. Also of black politicians, Keith Ellison, Democrat, Minnesota.
He's a woman beater? I'm behind.
That is the allegation. He denies it, of course, but apparently he was confronted on allegations Sunday of domestic abuse of a former girlfriend that surfaced days before the election that will decide the party's nominee. Because he is running for... What is he running for?
Is he a Congress critter?
He is, but he's running for attorney general now.
Oh, shit.
Because it's awesome to get into an elected office to then spend that time campaigning for another elected office.
It worked for Barry.
Excellent use. That is excellent time management skills the average proletarian does not possess.
I want Ocasio-Cortez to do it.
Shit.
For the same job that Barry did it for.
Oh my god, she will get lynched for real, for real. she tries to do that. Ellison said he was in a, quote, long-term relationship that ended in 2016, but denies the allegations of abuse. I still care deeply for her well-being. This video does not exist because I've never behaved in this way in any other category. Characterization is false. All right. The allegation is that the physical abuse was caught on video and posted to Facebook late Saturday night by the woman's son 4 days before the election, where Ellison is facing against four other Democrats, blah, 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 blah. That's not the important part of the story. I can see why they're leaning so heavily on this, though, but that's not the important part of the story. So here's the thing. What they have now is the son saying on Facebook he has a video, but nobody else has seen the video. I just want to know if the video exists. And what it shows, just show us the video. And of course, as one would expect, he's now being called on to resign and so on and so forth. But I just want to see the video.
Wait, he's just saying, no, I didn't.
Yeah, he's saying that never happened at all.
I don't know, he's got to say more words than that. Wait, but so she said I don't know the verbatim quotes or anything.
Haven't heard a verbatim quote from her. I've heard her son saying he has evidence in the video because she sorted on her computer. I haven't heard her.
She has a video of him beating her on her computer?
Yeah. Like, it somehow got recorded, and she said apparently it got downloaded onto her computer for, like, safekeeping, as it were. And her son found it when he was doing stuff on her computer.
No shit.
That's the rumor.
Folks, welcome to it. I have no idea what the fuck is going on.
Yeah, I mean, I would like to see the video, really.
Like, I'm tuned into this podcast, too. I'm trying to hear the news.
I'm trying to hear the news, too.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
Well, fuck you, Keith, for now.
For now, yeah.
Unless she says, I don't know.
Yeah. I'm trying to see, like, I'm actually glancing through another story right now. Again, it says the same thing. The son of Ellison's former girlfriend, Karen Monahan, posted to Facebook he'd seen angry text messages from Ellison to his mother and a video that showed him dragging her off of a bed.
The fuck?
But, I mean...
What the fuck wrong with you, Keith?
Right, I'm saying, right? He has a very long Facebook post about it. This is the son. His name is Austin Mohannon. Yeah. Or Monahan. I don't know how. Probably Monahan, right? He said, if you please read, if you care about my mother, please share. I love you. You won't have to stand alone. #time's up. #I believe her. Keith, and then tagged all Keith Ellison shit. I'm writing this letter on behalf of me and my brother. I watched our mom come out of pure hell after getting out of her relationship with Ellison. For months, we knew something wasn't right and couldn't figure it out. We asked our mom if everything was okay. She told us she was dealing with stress and would be okay. In the middle of 2017, I was using my mom's computer trying to download something, clicked a file, and found copies of over 100 texts and Twitter messages and a video almost 2 minutes long that showed Keith Ellison dragging my mama off the bed by her feet and screaming and calling her a fucking bitch and telling her to get the fuck out of his house. The messages I found were him mixed with consistently telling my mom he wanted her back and he missed her. He knew he fucked up and wished he could do things differently, with also saying he would victim shame her, bully her, and threaten her if she ever went public. I texted him to told him I know what you did to my mama and a few other things. I met up with my mom and asked her what happened. She said nothing until I told her I saw the video and a hell of a lot of messages saying something different. She finally talked. My brother and I were so angry and hurt for our mom, we were ready to go public, but our mom begged us not to, and she, along with others, convinced us it wasn't in her best interest. I saw the message after message, and through all that time where my mom was telling me she wasn't going back to him, but still saw his humanity and offered restorative justice. I honestly don't see how she would offer him that, but that's her choice. Sitting all this time watching what our mom went through was hard as hell. We watched her political friends stand by and never do anything. People had an idea what happened, but never even reached out. Whether we'd seen the video or not, I read all those messages. I'm skipping at this point. We still would have believed her if she'd told us. My mom has always tried to protect me and my brother. She doesn't have to protect us anymore, and we aren't letting her stand alone. We found out our mom was planning on sharing her story. That's all we needed to hear for us to share ours and stand with our mom. You want to smear someone, try to lie about someone who didn't do shit and deserve the ongoing emotional and physical abuse, then smear me and my brother. I don't know, man.
Oh, yeah, you gotta kill him.
I mean, maybe an unpopular opinion. I don't know.
Oh, shit. What are you doing?
Like, they're kind of assholes. Unless they got her explicit permission to put this up, they're fucking assholes if they put this up without, like, getting her explicit permission. Because according to this, she said she was going to come forward, not y'all need to come forward and talk about a video of her getting called a fucking bitch and, like, dragged around and getting kicked out of a house and shit like that. You know what I mean? Hmm. Like, that's not appropriate unless she gave them consent, in which case. But yeah.
Yeah, so we don't know.
So that's what's happening.
Damn, yeah, when you say you're going to do an unpopular opinion, you say some shit where I'm like, get the fuck off my podcast. This is going back to being Father Teresa's wine cellar, and light-skinned friends.
Light-skinned friends make the best friends.
Yeah, that's a... Ugh.
Yeah, I'm just saying, like, I just wanted to make sure that she consented to this before... it happened. Because you know the backlash is going to fall on her. So I'm just saying. All right.
Yeah, well, maybe he shouldn't backhand or punch.
He shouldn't.
Or whatever
he shouldn't.
Dragon and shit. What's shit. This Bill O'Reilly shit with this motherfucker?
Men. Just being men.
Fucking Christ. As Charlemagne would say, you know, we all pinch him.
Yeah, everybody does it.
Everybody. Yeah. Fucking Char Kelly. Charlemagne the Fraud. All right. You got more?
Oh, there's always more.
More or yeah. Good cops? More, lace it up.
Oh, yeah, just super quick. Report reveals widespread abuse by over 300 priests in Pennsylvania. A long-awaited jury investigation into clergy abuse in Pennsylvania was released Tuesday. The report detailed decades of alleged misconduct and cover-ups in 6 of the 8 Catholic dioceses of the state. The 900-page report is thought to be the most comprehensive of its kind and paints a horrid portrait of activity that occurred in Scranton, Allentown, Harrisburg, Greensburg, Erie, and Pittsburgh, implicating 300 predator priests. And one of them got a 17-year-old girl pregnant.
Kill them, too.
Kill them, too. Kill them,
yeah,
too.
I don't even... You know, some folks may be tuning into the program for the first time, like... this year. That is something I built up to since starting the program in 2012, where it just started just becoming, what, maybe around like late 2014, early 15, we just started getting into the, and this is why we gotta kill them.
I think it was like 15.
Yeah, up until the point where that was actually an episode title.
You gotta kill a lot of people.
Yeah, this is why we need to kill a lot of people. And like, and now I kind of just, I hear Fiends does a story, my whole commentary is, yeah, you gotta kill that one. You just gotta, you grab a thing, you know, and you're like, and you take that thing, and then you just sort of, you know, and they, they fall down and you just keep with the thing. And then they stop moving, but they shake a little bit, so you a couple more times, and you're like, all right, I'm done. And then there's a twitching, until it's dead.
Yeah.
You just fucking kill them, all right? None of this fucking, motherfuckers be like, so you're for the death penalty? That's Anglo-normative shit. It's not called the death penalty. It's called getting rid of the dangerous person.
Right.
All
right? Right.
That's like word it. We can use our own style of speaking to describe it because fuck their jurisprudence and their fucking judicial system.
Yes.
Fuck that. Grab an object, hit it till it's dead, till you knock your microphone unplugged.
Until you unplug your go hard until you unplug your microphone.
There. Yes.
But yeah, no, I agree because what the fuck are you supposed to do with that person? Like, how do you heal a person that is going around raping children for basically all of their life? Like, how do you... You can't fucking fix that person. You know what I mean? Like, fuck that. And you gotta keep people safe. Because, right, people are like, well, but what if the rapist changes? Okay, but what if they don't and now there's just more victims? Maybe we should think about the victims first.
Huh?
Huh? Nah.
And Tally Loco in the archive chat space said, I wish her healing and I wish her children healing. And also, good point. I do hope they got consent. And further, Tally Loco said, I tune in just for the kill list. I'm the real Obama. I walk around with a kill list in my pocket.
Could be Killmonger.
That's the cat. I get three Killmongers. Fuck it. So Mr. Pretty Man B. Jordan. And wait, is he canceled now?
I think people wanted to cancel him because his girlfriend isn't black or something. But I think that was the extent of it.
Little bedroom buck dancing for the fella there, huh? Hey, little bedroom buck dancing. Negro bed bucks. That's what you call them. Niggas want to run around with that misogynoir shit Negro bed wench? Call them niggas Negro bed bucks.
We should.
All right.
Dude, I got one more, though.
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is fucking wild to me.
Yes, ma'am.
Utah man crashes plane into his own house.
Yeah, freedom.
Payson, Utah. A Utah man flew a small plane into his house early Monday, just hours after he had been arrested for assaulting his wife in a nearby canyon where the couple went to talk about their relationship problems.
That's all in the headline?
That's the first sentence of the fucking story, nigga.
That's a very heavy-handed sentence.
A Utah man flew a small plane into his own house early Monday, just hours after he had been arrested for assaulting his wife in a nearby canyon where the couple went to talk about their relationship problems.
That sentence is three different stories. Like, they had relationship problems and went to a canyon. That's a story.
Yep.
Apparently, he keefed up. He keefed up on her. That's a story.
Mm-hmm.
And then flew his plane into his house. That is three different... I want three articles for this.
I don't have three articles. I have one.
Jesus Christ. It's not even Wednesday. What in the white-on-white crime are you sharing with me?
The pilot, Dwayne Yaud, died. Okay. Like, how is
that's
that?
The
that's the second sentence, though.
Like, damn.
How the fuck do you have that wild-ass first sentence and your entire second sentence is the pilot, Dwayne, died? How the fuck is that your whole second sentence, nigga?
Dwayne Yaud. If the name couldn't get any whiter.
Right. What's Y-O-U-D? That's Yaud, right? Yud? Yud? I don't
fucking know.
It could
be Yud.
Yud?
Yeah.
Ugh. His wife and child, who were in the home, got out and survived, despite the front part of the two-story house being engulfed in flames. Jesus. The crash occurred at 2:30 a.m. in the city of Payson, a city of about 20,000 residents, 60 miles south of Salt Lake City. Investigators believe the plane belonged to Yaud's employer, and he intentionally flew it into his house. He was an experienced pilot. Okay.
Not enough.
I think enough to crash it on purpose.
What, to get out of the truck? What the fuck?
Probably some, like, dramatic-ass family annihilator bullshit. He was probably trying to kill everybody and himself all at the same fucking time in, like, some dramatic-ass fashion because he didn't have a gun.
Yeah, or on some fucking, you can't get the house. Or if you're going to get the house and the divorce, it's going to be a house with a fucking plane through it.
Right, some, like, petty toxic masculinity bullshit thing. Yaud had been arrested 7:30 p.m. Sunday after witnesses called police to report he was assaulting his wife. The couple had gone to American Fork Canyon to talk about relationship problems they were having. Yaud was booked into jail on suspicion of domestic violence and then bailed out. He then requested an officer escort to go to his home to get his truck and belongings around midnight. That occurred without incident, but within hours, Yaud was taking off in the plane about 15 miles north of his home, flew into his neighborhood, and crashed into his house.
I hope he's fucking homophobic and they bury him in a rainbow flag. Fucking guy.
Right? Yeah. Oh, and police have previously responded to a domestic violence incident at that address. And he agreed to attend marriage and family counseling as part of the plea deal on July 23rd.
So, shit's like five stories now.
Yeah. Yeah, he originally got the first domestic violence incident was in April. In July, his plea deal was to go to counseling. Yesterday, he was beating his wife again. And then in the morning, flew his plane into his house trying to kill them all. Yeah.
Yeah, fuck that guy. I would say kill him.
But.
You know what? Fucking everybody line up. We can all take turns kicking the dead body. fuck it.
That like, seems unsanitary.
We all get to do something. I get some fucking hazmat suits from the factory. We're okay.
Hazmat suits.
Yeah, we're all right. You don't want to get old white man on you.
No. No.
All right.
All right, I'm done for real now.
Son of a brisket.
Yes.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Becky Lives Matter. Becky wants your vote. Florida candidate apologizes amid fake diploma controversy and says she will stay in the Raza.
Of course she will.
But what really matters. Now, I was listening to the Children of Welsing, Wacky Welsing, Francis Cress Welsing.
Yes.
And they call in. They call it the compensatory call-in program. And they had mentioned this story that we have over here on WineCellarMedia.com.
But I can see no reason. I have a 12-year-old daughter, but I can see no reason. Information.
Oh, volume.
Oh, no. It only gave me four seconds. It only gave me 4 seconds of video, but he said they have no reason for why this little 11-year-old black girl was tortured.
Right.
And I put because snacks.
Yeah.
Because two news outlets that I read that are, you know, pretty much your rank and file mainstream outlets.
Mm-hmm.
let's see, like right here, an 11-year-old girl who was suspected of stealing food from a Cincinnati supermarket was tased by an off-duty policy overseer.
Mm-hmm.
The girl who was suspected of stealing items from a Kroger store. Are you familiar with the Kroger stores?
Yeah, I've seen them.
Are they generally food?
I think it's just like a slightly smaller time Walmart. Like they have some, like they have a grocery, they have a decent grocery section, but they also have some other stuff, I believe.
Okay.
Or maybe more like a Meijer, you know, like that kind of shit.
Kroger.
Yeah.
Fair deal. And so, the girl who was suspected of stealing items from a Kroger store was shocked with a taser, stun gun, after she allegedly ignored an overseer and started to walk away, the Cincinnati police said in a statement. Quote, "It hit my back real fast, and then I stopped, then I fell, and I was shaking, and I couldn't really breathe," end quote, from the girl, Donisha Gowdy, when she was speaking with NBC News. She said, quote, "It's just like you're passing out, but you're shaking," end quote. The fourth grade individual said that she did not try to fight the overseer, and that she was not aggressive toward him. The overseer who stunned the child was identified as Kevin Brown, a 55-year-old individual in the court documents. The police fellers said he was working off duty as a security guard. Just kind of hustling up some extra change because his who knows what thousand a year as a cop.
Right.
Just isn't enough to support his habit of stopping by that place that we passed by on the way home. Quote, "I'm not saying what she did was cool. I'm not saying that. But what he did was totally wrong," end quote, from the girl's mother, Donna Gowdy, also to NBC. Now, when the guy, he calls himself Thomas from New York, he calls into the context of white supremacy program. They are children of Welsing, Wacky Welsing, with Gus T. Renegade, who named himself after a fictional character from the film Birth of a Nation,
right.
Gus the Renegade Negro. And Thomas from New York calls in, and he mentions this story. But he says she was stealing school supplies.
Yeah.
Because respectability politics matters a lot to these fuckers.
Mm-hmm.
All right. But it was snacks. She just had some snacks.
Yeah.
Maybe there was a school supply involved. Nothing in any news outlets I saw.
Yeah.
And Thomas from New York also didn't mention that the cop who tortured her was black.
Right.
Because they have to have the respectability politics and deny that black-on-black violence happens, particularly this misogynor-ass shit. He attacked that little-ass girl mm-hmm. with a fucking electricity gun.
Right.
Like, what in the fucking, like, what kind of X-Men fantasies are you fucking living out? You fucking attack. It is. It's an electricity gun.
Mm-hmm.
That's a great thing to call it. Yes, ma'am.
The wild thing, though, is that this was a Cincinnati. Right now, their code of conduct says you can use tasers on anybody over the age of 7 or under age 70 if they're not pregnant or disabled.
Yep, I read that.
Yes, 7, right?
Yep, over the age. So, 8 years old.
Yep.
Ready to get fucking, I don't know, do one of those X-Men characters electrify things?
Storm, I think, is like lightning. Like, so, that's her power.
Ready to get stormed.
Yeah.
All right. Or if you want to gentrify it, Zeus'd.
Shit.
All right. Quote from a spokesperson for the Kroger. Quote, we are saddened by this situation. Nothing is more important to us than the safety of our customers and associates. Our thoughts are with the family and child. End quote.
So people were upset about this on Twitter.
Yeah.
And every time somebody commented, that was the exact, they cut and pasted that response to everyone who said anything. Like, their timeline was literally nothing but like 300 of that cut and pasted quote.
Fuck.
Yeah. Yeah.
They need to hire the motherfucker from Wendy's.
Wendy's paying that nigga. That nigga ain't going nowhere.
Yeah, I want to see. We probably look weird as hell. Because we're looking at our screen on the right. Twitter live video. We're both in there. But then look at this screen where I'm following it. I guess if I double up on it and click. Yeah, like you're coming in. I'm not in there. So maybe next time I'll do upright or I'll pull it back, push
right.
it back.
Right.
We'll work on it with the Twitter live thing. But
yes.
I just want people to be able to access the program in more ways than two. Which is face booze and podcast. Well, podcast after I can pay the podcast bill, maybe Wednesday next week.
Yes.
Because I got to get my check from work with some overtime on it, transfer that over to the PayPal,
mm-hmm.
and then pay the podcast bill. I only pay that from the PayPal.
Yes.
All right. Stuff and things. Cops are good. Good cops. I remember one of my old posts back on the face booze was, you know, that there is somebody that's white arguing with somebody's black that's black who's their Facebook friend. You know, they're the kind mm-hmm. of people that only have like 60 people on their friends list. They're
yeah.
friends. And the white person is arguing that there are good cops. And the black person's like, nah, I'm trying to tell you what is going on here with the whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then the black person had to stop and make a run to the store and got murdered by a good cop while they were out there. And since they never respond, the white person's like, yeah, I shut them down. Now they know there's good cops.
Whew.
You think that's not a thing that happens?
I'm sure it does. Oh, and Tally in the chat space pointed out that you can't always readily see all disabilities. No, the fuck you can't. They're guessing.
Yep. Oh, I'm yeah. a story.
That's what about the taser. When I said that, as they said, as long as you're between 7 and 70 and not disabled or pregnant, they can taser you.
Ah.
Yes.
Yep. Yeah, like you.
Yeah, hi. I would probably die.
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
You don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Yeah, you just got white men getting out of their way in the grocery store like, oh, this big old lesbian gonna hurt me.
Yeah.
She gonna hurt me.
I might.
All right, let's take a look here. Good cops, rape culture, women's rights. Rape victim of good cop gets her case reopened thanks to journalism and Me Too.
Okay.
And yeah, like the journalists, like they kind of bragged. They did some self backpatting. Like, we got this shit reopened, motherfucker.
Hashtag humble brag.
They fucking certainly did. And, like, they took a picture as a team and posted the shit. Yeah. Like, they were filling themselves for getting this case reopened, but at the same time, they fucking did. So the St. Louis Circuit Attorney says she's reopening the criminal investigation into a St. Louis policy overseer accused of rape. It's a fallout from ongoing Five on Your Side I-Team. That's what they call themselves, the Five on Your Side. So I guess kind of like as journalists, they're a local populace where they are.
Yeah.
To my understanding from this story.
We have one in Chicago called the Eyewitness Team.
Yeah, and they're kind of with the people.
Yeah, yeah. But like, they do local stories like that. Like like they had one where like, you know, somebody was getting like price gouged and someone was like getting screwed over by a contractor and, you know, shit like that. They're like, they wouldn't respond to our request for an interview, you know.
Man, there's one where Ebeth Bruzal, Central Florida News 13, she fucking got at Rick Scott's ass hard. I think it's still on the YouTubes. We played it on the podcast before because we're cool. All right, this story continues. It's fallout from an ongoing Five on Your Side I-Team investigation into how some police fellers use their jobs to pressure women for sex, rape. For Michelle Roche, the year 2008 wasn't easy. Quote, "I had gotten out of a domestic violence relationship," said Roche. "My ex had broken into my house, so she got up, so she got help from two St. Louis Metro policy overseers who were also brothers. Roche said they called her ex and got him to back off. Quote, "I thought they were protecting me," end quote. Oh, it's saying software update.
Yeah.
Go fuck yourself, Apple. God damn it. Shut up, computer. Giving me notifications about stuff.
You have all these screens open and everyone's fucking with us.
So she got out domestic violence, got the two police fellas that are brothers to get the ex that broke into her house to back off. And she said, quote, "I thought they were protecting me," end quote. But later that evening, things took a turn for the worse. Roche was living in a top-floor apartment in South St. Louis. Below her lived the cousin of those two cops. And that night, that cousin decided to have a party. While sitting next to one of the brothers, remember this program, somebody might just be tuning in, we start with a heavy-handed, exhaustive trigger warning.
Mm-hmm.
Story continuing. While sitting next to one of the brothers who was in uniform, Roche said he started doing something strange. Quote, "He started checking me for needle marks. He took his hands and skimmed it down my arms, legs, and feet. Tried to get me to take off my shirt. I was like, I'm not a drug addict," end quote. Continuing, quote, "He started with forcing himself." Then she says the 6-foot-plus cop pulled her into the bathroom. Quote, "He started with forcing himself on me. He was pulling out my hair, punching me in the face."
Jesus fucking Christ.
In uniform! All right.
So Daniel Holt's calling it.
Indeed. And remember how Daniel Holtzclaw got caught up. He was not washing his nasty ass rape pants and had their blood and had the blood of multiple victims and his semen on his nasty ass unwashed rape pants that he was just putting back on every day.
Mm-hmm.
All right, continuing with this story, pulling my hair, punching me in the face, Roche said then the police officer raped her. She also said she felt like she had no way out. Quote, "He had the gun right there the whole time." In uniform! She eventually arrived at a hospital with a swollen upper lip, bruising around her nose, and the back of her neck. It had pain. Now, showed up to the hospital like that, and everybody's like, "Yeah, you lying broad.
Yeah.
Nobody rapes. Like, you should have said your safe word over there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the fuck are these fucking guys? Continuing with this story. One problem, Roche had just started her period, so a rape kit wasn't possible. Is that legit?
That doesn't seem legit to me.
It's not legit.
Like, it would be a deterrent to part of the investigation to look for, like, vaginal bruising and tearing and bleeding in that aspect, because already bleeding, but his DNA should still be there.
Well, also, she has hair pulled out.
And she looked beat up, because she did get beat up. But this is, where is this? This is Minneapolis?
St. Louis.
St. Louis, okay.
Yeah.
So I was like, didn't we just cover, I think it was in Minnesota though, but didn't we just cover a similar story about a sex worker who got raped and they were like, oh, but you started off like taking this person as a client, so they didn't even run a rape kit on her?
No, and they arrested her.
Yeah.
Yeah, we covered that recently.
yeah, that doesn't seem legit to me. It would, for some of the evidence, yeah, but like the DNA should still fucking be there. Like, what the fuck?
Oh, the doctor was probably has a 4chan account. Let's see, but even with that, her medical records show she was diagnosed as a victim of a sexual assault, with recommendation that Roche report it. She did, according to an incident report. Quote, I was fearful of retaliation with police, end quote, and very logical. So she filed a restraining order against the overseer, stating that he had raped her and hit her. The cop signed and agreed to it. Hold up.
What?
So she filed... Oh, so he agreed to the restraining order.
Okay.
Oh, so I guess you have to get his consent for a restraining order while bleeding from the face and with hair pulled out. Mm-hmm. After he raped you.
Mm-hmm.
There's no problem with misogyny in this culture.
No, rape culture doesn't actually exist.
Nothing.
It's a myth.
What are you talking about? Let's take a look here. She filed it, and then she said she reported the incident to the Policy Internal Affairs. Mm-hmm. But Roche said the circuit attorney's office eventually gave her bad news. Quote, they looked at me and said, he's not going to be charged. I said, did I say something wrong? Did I do something wrong? What's going to happen when he does it again? End quote, said Roche. Roche said that she was, that she just folded into herself and stayed that way for years. Trauma, until, quote, everybody kept telling me about hashtag me too, end quote. So some of you folks, you really are online activists. Some motherfuckers come along and be like, ah, you slacktivist, you got this case reopened, nigga. All right, so someone kept telling her about this hashtag me too. Well, actually, she said everybody. So apparently a lot of people. Welcome to old school hip-hop, word of mouth.
Yeah.
Me too is hip-hop. Someone out there is wagging their finger at that sentence. I understand. I just blurted that out. Continuing. Inspired, she said she made a decision. She began protesting outside the St. Louis police headquarters with a picket sign and a bullhorn calling out her alleged rapist. So she just became her own activist.
She did.
Now,
I feel it.
A very uncool guy that says mean things to people in 2014 said, because I remember motherfuckers kept saying, why isn't Beyonce Knowles doing this? Why isn't she speaking out for that? How come she isn't here calling herself by this ideological title? It's like, Beyonce Knowles is not your activist. Beyonce Knowles is a capitalist entertainer. And in recent weeks, we learned that she's really a capitalist like a motherfucker. But, yeah, look at this nigga Roche, man, you know? But everybody can't do that, right? Fucking trauma's hard.
Trauma is hard.
Yeah, but goddamn. This is a ill story where look who's the fucking dope person.
Mm-hmm.
Fuck the cop, nigga. I want Roche patrol in my neighborhood. Shit. Let's take a look here. Butter-dop, skip-a-dop, dude. She has a bullhorn. She said, quote, I did use his name, but I also had checked with law enforcement. It was my First Amendment right, end quote. All right, some of that sentence felt a little broken.
Yeah.
Because it was two sentences, but it came across a little weird. So basically, so she was afraid of violating the First Amendment by, like, harassment, I guess. So she made sure that she could use his name. And damn, ain't that something. So remember, he fucking grabs your arms pretending to check for drugs, gropes you all the way down to your feet, takes you in a bathroom, punches you in the face, pulls your hair, rapes you. But what does the woman do? Ask for permission to say his name.
And just, and again, to reiterate, how did this start off? She was coming out of a domestic abuse relationship. Jeez. And her ex was stalking her. And this was the guy who showed up to protect her and then raped her.
But if she gets online and says men are trash,
she will get that 30-day Facebook block.
Hate speech? Fuckers. Fuck all you motherfuckers. This is why I literally have not, like, associated, like, I have not hung out with a male, a man, a cis man in partic since February 2014. Fuck that. And it's going to be another 4 years, and then a decade, and then two, because fuck these guys. Like, the next person Phoenix and I are going to hang out with is a cis woman.
Yeah.
And because fuck these guys. Yeah. Continuing, the story about good copism is not over. But shortly after the protests began, Roche was hit with a restraining order. By a rape. All right. It was the type of protective order that can be easily gotten without a hearing. In this case, it had been filed by the overseer she accused of raping her. It was it said Roche could no longer mention him on social media or during her protest. Now, is social media privately owned or not? Because if it's privately owned, I should still be able to fucking say it there.
It's complicated. I mean, you should maybe ask Alex Jones, because he's the canary in the coal mine on this.
Maybe I'll ask Jimmy Dore.
Ask Jimmy.
All right. Ask Jimmy. Jimmy Dore's still a leftist, but I'm getting at you, nigga. With my little ass platform. He doesn't know I exist. Now, she was stunned. Quote, I had never had one this before. I wonder if English is her second language.
Maybe.
Said Roche. But it opened the floodgates. Soon the overseer's brother and his wife filed for and got the same sort of order. So another... Where are the people that are going to quote Madeleine Albright on this one?
There's a special place in hell for women who don't help other women. Oh. Unless you're married to a cop.
A rapist cop. I wonder if he fucking washed his nasty ass rapist pants before he crawled in bed with her. Does she like it when rape victim blood is on her husband's pants?
She probably does, because that means he didn't do shit to her.
Huh.
Like, let it be some other bitch.
Yeah, that's Keith me, Keith her. Get Keithed up. This is a hard ass podcast.
But are we saying anything that's not true? Because you know damn well the wives of these cops fucking know their husbands are out here fucking raping people and beating people and, like, framing people up. And they're like, that's my husband. I'm so proud of him. Blue Lives Matter. Okay, well, you're fucking complicit in that shit, too.
You know what? Because essentially, they just like being with what cops really are, which is a soldier. They like being with a soldier.
Who has an authority probably, and a pension.
Yeah, shit, they probably like that salary, too. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a salary, it's a pension, and it's authority. Because this thing, if anybody does shit to you, I can tell my husband on you.
Woo!
Because he's literally an authority figure.
Yeah, there's a shiny bag of shekels rolling in, plus power.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, that's like a microcosm of kings. That's the real kangs and quines.
Shit.
Fucking continuing on with the story. Soon the officer... Okay, so then people from St. Louis and Indiana also received orders of protection against Roche. Their people Roche says she never even met. So now this is like some fucking ostracism campaign. At one point, Roche had 12 restraining orders against her, and soon someone claimed that she violated one of the orders. The police fellers arrested her. Wonder if they raped her while she was in custody.
Probably.
And charged her with a felony.
You know what? I bet you that's why they got all their friends to file restraining orders, just so someone she didn't know could be like wherever the fuck she is and be like, oh, she's next to me. She's violating the order that I got out against her, even though she doesn't know who the fuck I am. I bet you that was some slick shit they did on purpose just to get her arrested. And I bet you.
In the beginning, she said she feared retaliation.
Because why else? Why else? Like, in another fucking state, she traveled a lot? Like, that doesn't even make any kind of sense.
So,
but actually, I don't even know how you would go to investigate that, but I would just be curious to know, like, who the fuck are these judges that are just giving out all these restraining orders against the same fucking person?
They're all like, in the same gang. The judges,
so,
too.
So, like, the fuck with the judges? Like, we need to look into the judges, too.
How? That's the thing. No, the system is set up that you can't.
Shit.
Yeah, capitalists and white supremacists set up one hellified system where, yes, burning it down is the only logical way to do it. You are not going to march your way into fucking justice.
No, not
ever.
Not.
It will not happen. All right. Again, how did we get here? Did white men peacefully march from the Atlantic to the Pacific asking for what they fucking have?
They did.
No, they murdered and raped their way across the planet.
What, are you suggesting that Native people didn't want to give up their land to people who would abuse it, and that Africans didn't want to be entrepreneurial capital?
Nigga, you sound like one of them straw band niggas trying to make sense. Shit. Her attorney is Chelsea Murta, and her quote, she said, my reaction was just horror, end quote. Her attorney, Chelsea Murta, took a close look at the orders filed against Roche. Her conclusion, quote, they're frivolous. They filed these orders to silence her to keep her from sharing her story, end quote. So, Chelsea Murta, her attorney, took Roche's case and started getting hearings before actual judges. Oh, so they were getting these things without judges.
Okay.
Earlier this month in St. Louis County Court, Chelsea, the attorney Murta, and Roche were ready to face off with her accused rapist, his brother, and his wife, who had all filed orders of protection against her. Quote, we're doing all three in at one time, so everyone's testimony will be all at once, end quote.
Right.
But in the end, none of them showed up for court, and the judge revoked their orders against Roche. Outside the courtroom, Roche was tearfully grateful, said, quote, I am speaking out on behalf of all rape victims, end quote. But she was also defiant, quote, I also want to add, you're not above the law, and you can't and will not silence me anymore.
And Sally in the chat room said, she better come the fuck through. She did.
Yep. But, the police fellas are armed and dangerous, and they will come through, too.
They will.
So this measure didn't work, they will step it up. Wrapping up the story, since then, the attorney, Chelsea Murta, has gotten nearly all the other protective orders against Roche thrown out in court, but Roche still faces felony charges for supposedly violating some of those, restraining orders. In the meantime, the lawyer for the accused officer tells us her client was previously cleared of any allegations and had even passed a lie detector test.
A lie detector test that's not admissible in court because of how faulty they are.
All right, so felony still pending, and don't think these cops don't know these prison guards and can't wait to have them waiting for her on the inside.
Shit, is she out right now? I didn't catch that if it said, or is she remanded while waiting for...
No, it just ended there.
Because if she's in right now, I guarantee you they're fucking paying inmates to fuck with her.
Oh, yeah, huh? Yeah, and they don't have to pay much. A couple cigarettes. All right. Another good cop. Remember, the title of this episode, There's No Such Thing as a Good Cop, Part 5. All right, I started the No Such Thing as a Good Cop thing, I think, early 2013, like January, February. Because I made it a thread on the Facebooks at first, mm-hmm. and people were not feeling it. But then I just kept asking questions. That's what you do. Always fucking ask questions. Mm-hmm. And then it got down to, and they were like, well, what about the cop that tells on the bad cop? well, don't they get retaliated against and fired? It's like, yeah, that happens. So then if the one that was supposed to be the good cop is fired, they're not a cop anymore. So yet again, we're back to square one of there's no such thing as a good cop. And they were like, yeah, you're kind of right there.
Yep.
Yeah, that was one of those atheist debaters I was interacting with. All right, let's take a little looky-do here with these fellers. I tell you what.
Tonight, we are learning more about the allegations of sexual misconduct made against a Chattanooga police officer. The attorney representing the alleged victim says the officer sexually assaulted a woman while on duty. Channel 3's Kate Smith joins us live in the studio with what she's learned. Kate?
Chad Phillips is the attorney representing the female victim who says she was raped by Officer Desmond Logan. The department did not release Logan's name last month when they called a press conference about the allegations, but attorneys, internal affairs documents, and the sheriff's office all confirmed the active investigation against him. A Nashville-based personal injury attorney says he is representing the woman who told Hamilton County deputies that she was raped by an on-duty Chattanooga police officer. Chad Phillips identifies the officer as Desmond Logan, who is the subject of an active and ongoing investigation by the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office. Matt Lee, spokesperson for the Sheriff's Office, declined to comment, saying the district attorney's office directed him not to speak on an open investigation. In June, Chattanooga Police Chief David Roddy called a rare Saturday press conference to report internal and criminal investigations into claims of sexual misconduct against one of his officers. According to internal affairs documents obtained by Channel 3, the alleged victim reported the assault to the Hamilton County Sheriff's Office 3 days before the press conference.
That officer will be questioned. His or her actions will be investigated, and if found true, that officer will be held accountable.
Documents included in Logan's personnel records show an internal affairs investigation was launched against Officer Logan for an alleged criminal offense and improper procedure. The Chattanooga Police Department would not release Logan's name in June, citing the ongoing investigation. Today, a spokesperson declined to comment on the internal affairs documents, citing department policy on internal affairs investigations. Logan, who has not been charged with a crime, has not returned Channel 3's calls. Officer Desmond Logan is assigned to the Neighborhood Policing Bureau. Since June, he has been placed on paid leave pending the outcome of the investigation. Again, no criminal charges have been filed against him, and tonight it's still unclear how long the investigation will take. But for now, I'm live in the studio. Kate Smith, Channel 3, Eyewitness News.
Thank you.
And for folks only checking out the audio and not seeing the video, we don't protect black cops, nigga. You chose your side. And you choose to be a rapist, and you black, nigga. Fuck you. You're a rapist. Rapist first. That's what I focus on. All right. And that is that video clip, and that information is on WineCellarMedia.com, titled hashtag, check me out, hashtag good cop Desmond Logan is another taxpayer-funded armed rapist.
Yes.
I use very blunt language in these titles.
Yes.
Right? Like, what's the other titles? Oh, I think that I opened that one up by itself. Yeah, and that's in Chattanooga, Tennessee. All right? You like more good cops?
Yeah.
You're excited?
Let's do it.
All right. All right. Back to another white one. Hey, how about it? Rapist cop Stephen Mitchell released from prison with a serious public warning from his daughter. And I think this one is out there in the UK. All right, so this is, I think they call it across the pond. Confusing metaphor. So apparently I added this in when I reposted it. Hey, gang, this one is coming from The Mirror, a UK site. And here is a link to the article and a few quotes. Rapist cop released. Rapist cop Stephen Mitchell is today branded a psychopath who will always be a danger to women by his own daughter. All right. So let's actually go to the mirror.co.uk. And she gave a chilling assessment after the Sunday People, which I guess is a news outlet, the Sunday People revealed how the sex predator, rapist, was freed after just 7 years behind bars. Damn, they're almost hitting American numbers. Get it lower, get it lower. The decision sparked outrage from 50-year-old Mitchell's victims. Damn. 50-year-old Mitchell's victims, who could number as many as 30.
Wait, he got 7 years for raping 30 people? What the fuck?
Yeah. And this isn't even America. So let you know. Fucking white, just probably white on white for the most part. I don't know. I'm not 100%. But fucking white male misogyny, white on white crime, white, like, gendered violence. Hey, man, it's global. The pervert police constable was warned. This is how they wrote the article in the Mirror. The pervert police constable was warned by the judge who sentenced him that he might never be released.
JK, obviously.
But a damning interview, Mitchell's daughter Abby, a 22-year-old individual, has revealed how her father, bullet points here, terrorized her with violence when she was growing up, bombarded her with phone calls from behind bars saying, quote, "You will always be my little girl," end quote. And third bullet point, she believes he fooled parole chiefs into thinking he was a changed man by taking sewing and embroidery classes in jails.
Okay.
Abby continues, saying, quote, "My father is a psychopath, and he will always be a danger to women. He's pulled the wool over the eyes of the parole board, but he's not changed a bit," end quote. Abby was just 15 years old when she discovered her father had raped and sexually abused vulnerable women, including heroin addicts and a disabled girl. Yeah, 7 years. After offering them help while they were in custody at a police station in the center Newcastle upon Tyne, that's T-Y-N-E, he was given two life sentences at Newcastle Crown Court in 2011 after being found guilty of two rapes, three incident assaults, and misconduct.
What?
Yeah.
How the fuck do you go from two life sentences to getting out in 7 years?
The thin blue line knows no nation, is my guess. He was told, but also he took sewing classes.
Took sewing classes, you guys?
Yeah. He was told he would not be eligible for parole for at least 7.5 years with a warning he might never be fit for freedom. Abby said, quote, "I think he is a psychopath who feels no empathy but has learned how to fake emotions to get people to do what he wants them to. He is calculating, manipulative, and dangerous. He is now, and I believe he will always be. He has managed to convince the parole board that somehow he is a changed man, but I just don't believe that can be the case." Through the family, I have been told he spent time in prison in groups doing needlework, embroidering cushions, and making greeting cards. He would record voice messages telling me he loved me and that I would always be his little gal, but I saw through that. It wasn't the voice of a loving father. It doesn't matter how many cushions he has sewn, he is not changed. When I saw the photographs of him in the Sunday People, I knew from that look in his eyes that he's the same man he was. Nothing has changed, and that's a very frightening thought. End quote from his daughter, Abby.
Now, see, I'd be very curious to know what the other inmates thought of him. Because if he's, like, that kind of person, he didn't go that whole time without doing some abuse of that shit to, like, his cellmate or other inmates, right? Like, outside of embroidery class, right? But he then, had to.
I mean, and that's something I think, particularly, like, in the workplace, men sexually harass men all the time, and obviously men rape a man all the time, but who's going to talk about it? Because then you're admitting that you're getting treated like a B-word, and you know how B-words deserve to get treated according to men. So a
and
code
thus
of silence,
the toxic masculinity continues.
Yeah, it's a coerced code of silence. Abby, so that's the end of quote. Abby was aged around 8 when her parents split because her mother could no longer tolerate Mitchell's actions in the home. Mitchell is originally from Whittle Bay, North Tyneside, somewhere in the UK. He manipulated his impressionable young daughter into believing her mother no longer loved her. It led to Abby living with Mitchell for around 6 months, a period she now looks back on as a time of fear. She said, quote, "I don't know that I used to be daddy's girl and that we spent a lot of time together, but when my mom and dad split, he turned me against her, and now I realize that she loved me and desperately wanted me to be with her and away from him. He told me she didn't care, she wanted nothing to do with me, and now I realize the time that I had with him was not a normal relationship between a father and a child. I remember him once in my bedroom becoming very angry that he punched a hole in the wall. On another occasion, he was brushing my hair because it was thick and it was pulling and I cried out. He hit my hand so hard with the hairbrush that it drew blood. Now I can see the incidents like that about him controlling me just as he had to everyone. He carried a real menace. That's their vernacular, okay. I guess. So he carried a real menace that went much further than parental authority. The fear I was living in wasn't clear to me until I went to stay with my mom. It was supposed to be for just that weekend, but I never went back." End quote. Abby refused to see her father, but he continued to phone. She said, quote, "I didn't trust anything he said and couldn't feel comfortable around him. I think even as a child, I had seen through him and had realized he was putting on an act," end quote. As a child, Mitchell would take Abby into the police station and let her sit in his patrol car. But any pride she may once have felt in his career came crashing down at the age of 12. Mitchell's colleagues from Northumbria Police arrived at the family home to inform her that he was being investigated over a series of rapes. Quote, "I was devastated, disgusted, and angry. I told my mom, as far as I am concerned, he is no longer my father. I don't claim to speak for any of those women, but I can't begin to think about what they suffered. My first response after being told he was being released so early was anger for them," end quote. Mm-hmm. Abby goes hard. Abby Larson. Last week, the Sunday People, a news outlet in the UK, revealed exclusive pictures showing Mitchell enjoying a carefree bike ride outside his home on the outskirts of Glasgow last week.
Wait, is that the picture?
That's not the picture of him in Glasgow.
Because that is not a carefree looking nigga. That's a, I'm about to make your skin into a lampshade. He doesn't kind of looking nigga.
He don't even look real. He looks like one of the fucking villains that Captain Planet has to take down. Word life.
Yeah, like he looks like a fucking James Bond villain. I'm not kidding.
Yeah, like cartoonishly evil looking. Like ridiculous. Like he barely has any eyebrows, but you can still tell he's mean mugging. let's see. So fury over his release comes just months after the scandal of black cab rapist John Warby's. And I guess black cab, is that like yellow cab here?
Maybe, probably.
Yeah, so I'm thinking that sentence probably came out real tough. black cab rapist, because I think if it was black, there may have been a comma. Oh, you're looking up John Warboys now?
Yeah.
Warboys, Warboys.
Wait, literally war boys.
Yep.
Wow.
Yeah. So this is news after the black cab rapist John Warboys, whose release was approved by the parole board, but quashed.
Ooh, excuse me.
I'm not breathing in regular patterns, but quashed by the high court after protest from victims who never got to court. Oh, that's some activist-ass shit. Following the uproar, let me go ahead and check this here. Yes, ma'am.
John Warboys, a.k.a. John Radford, is a convicted sex offender known as the Black Cab Rapist, who was convicted in 2009 for attacks on 12 women, although police suspect there may have been more than 100 victims in total.
Fucking Christ. Kill him. Wait, and they were letting this motherfucker out?
Yeah.
Yeah, fuck your justice system. It's not a justice system. That's the thing. It's a jurisprudence system. Patriarchal as fuck. Following the uproar, the board now obliged to give an explanation of parole decisions, but the change in the law happened after Mitchell was freed last September. Abby said, quote, "It's frightening to know that he now has the freedom to go anywhere he wants and continue to lie and manipulate people. It's the victims we should be focusing on, and in particular, how to make sure that people of positions of authority like he was are never able to abuse that power again." End quote. A parole board spokesman said, quote, "A panel directed the release of Stephen Mitchell following an oral hearing in September 2017. Parole board decisions are solely focused on whether a prisoner would represent a significant risk to the public. The panel will have carefully looked at a whole range of evidence, including details of the ongoing evidence and any evidence of behavior change. We do that with great care and public safety as our number one priority."
Okay, nigga, I am confusion right now.
Ma'am.
How the fuck is somebody who is a serial rapist proving that they're not a danger to society because they took up a hobby? Like, that doesn't even make sense. Like, did they not have hobbies before? Did they not do normal people things before? You think because he knows how to embroider, he's, like, not a rapist anymore? How the fuck does that even work?
On some level, you're like, their action like that is being vicariously, clearly communicated through you. Because they're saying, rape is a hobby. He got a new hobby. It's good now, right? All right,
so
folks.
So if rape is his hobby, why is taking him out of prison going to make him not go back to his old hobby?
Because you know how many fucking Joanne fabric stores are out there? He is not going to be able to resist knitting. Not even with help from the resistance.
The assistance.
Hell, he might even make some of those hats.
Mm-hmm, okay.
And some of these clowns over here would actually fucking wear them.
Yeah, the fuck they would.
Imani Gandhi is a Russian agent. These are the facts. That I know, that's a hard left turn. No segue at all. Imani Gandhi's a Russian agent. We're going to be looking into this. It's fucking hilarious.
It is hilarious.
Yeah. But, hey, no such thing as a good cop. And I guess we'll close out with Phoenix. Tell them why there's no such thing as a good cop.
Because all cops are, well, bastards.
Well, and also, say there's a police force.
Yeah.
Where, and it's in one town, and it's there, and, you know.
Wait, do they all wear matching colors?
Yep. But in this police force, like, seriously, none of them rapes anybody.
Okay.
None of them beats anybody. No one harass anybody. No racial profiling.
Okay.
They don't do any of that shit. But they just arrest people based off what's illegal.
No such thing as a good cop.
Like, I think I remember this. I think Janet Mock said this. This is not the verbatim quote. But Janet Mock said, just being arrested is violence.
Right.
They're putting shackles on you, putting the shackles behind your back, and then putting you in a car with a hard seat and making you sit on your shackled hands behind your back on a hard seat.
Yeah.
what they do is inherently violent and shitty, and then they lock you in a rape cage.
And I think that's the thing people, like, still... And I don't know if it's just, like, cognitive dissonance, willful ignorance at this point, but people are really obsessed with this idea that, like, but the cops are keeping us safe from the bad guys. And it's like, no, the majority of people in jail, either waiting for trial or serving out their time, or the people in prison serving time, most of them are in there for nonviolent offenses. Like, the majority of the prison population is not fucking, well, good cops, like we just covered. They're not out raping, you know, dozens of people. They're not fucking serial killers. They're not fucking cannibals. They don't, you know, sacrifice children to ancient demons. Like, most people in prison are there over bullshit. And a lot of them are framed by good cops. But, like, you know, take that shit into consideration. Like, if somebody, you know, like, the guy, we covered him. He kept getting arrested for feeding homeless people. Like, that's your big crime of the day? Gave a fucking homeless guy a sandwich? That's your fucking crime streak. That's a crime wave.
Yeah, because think about it. A guy gave a guy a sandwich.
Oh, God.
Gay.
Fellas, is it gay?
For a feller to give you a sandwich?
Yes.
It's hard to yell when the barrel's in your mouth. Good cops. Good cops. Good cops. Good cops. Yo, if you see one in uniform, you should shoot him in the face. Let the good cops know we ain't playing in the place. Shoot him up from the face to the feet. Don't come to me, nigga, might pull out heat. I had nothing else.
Yeah, nothing else.
Yeah, I actually don't like this beat. It's what happened.
Oh, no!
Yeah, I don't like that fucking beat. Why do I have that instrumental? I think I was making a funny track about T.I. because he was cooning for Iggy McZalier.
Oh.
All right. Yes. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. And the sooner someone hits up that PayPal.me, the sooner we can pay the podcast fee.
Hint.
And
hint.
That's PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam. And Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund is the monthly subscription. All right. And yes. I almost did not look at the archive chat space at fucking all. Let me see. Tally Loco's in there, said stuff. Let me take a look here.
Yes, Tally's always there saying stuff.
Said, good looking out, daughter, and thank you for sharing with us so we know about the terrorist.
Yes.
And wait a second. I have the glaucoma, so let me go ahead and and boostify it. Boostier. Yes, indeed. Shocking. He abused multiple marginalized folks. He knew he would have the least. He knew would have the least power, protection, and means to fight back. But oppression ain't real, and bootstrapping is all it takes.
Yes.
And Tally Loco said, "You need a white wig for British barrister dudes when you talk like that." Indeedly do, neighbor.
Oh, that would be fun.
All right, and we're getting the heck darn out of here. Yes. It's 8:40. I'm probably going to do another 12-hour shift. PayPal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, Patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund, Facebook Live. End it. Bang, Twitter Live. How the fuck do I
don't know.
Swipe to stop? Oh, there it is. Stop broadcast. All right. And podcast audio, stop.